Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
There's the chance. How about that for a great performance?
Jake, the prototype Collier.
I've never been happier.
I made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
And a 5, and a 4, and a 3, and a 2, and a 1. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I'm still a fat, unshaven disaster. Hi, Matt. Good to see you, buddy.
Well, I mean, Jimmy, that's up to you. I mean, you could change that. You really, you could shave. Yes, if you wanted to, unless it's a look. See, this is not me being lazy. There was another guy in Dunkin' Donuts, this old guy complaining about the president, and he looks at me afterwards. He goes, "You need a shave." Like, what the fuck? This is, I go, "No, this is a look." I go, "I make up for my no hair on top." And then he's like, "Oh," I go, "Okay, you like me now. Go back to complaining about the president."
I'll tell you why. I'm taping Chip later.
Okay.
And I also have to dye my hair and shave to do Doug Bell. I've been a little negligent taping Doug Bell casts. So I have to tape a few of them in the next couple of days. So I'm going to have to dye my hair and then shave. But I need it to look gross as possible when I do Doug. You know, so I have to look really
nice. Now, what happened to you? Have another gentleman that I met recently.
Who's that?
You have another character, I heard, that not Doug. It's not a comic. There was another guy. Who the fuck else you got?
Edgar Craig Schenkel? I don't know.
There you go. I mean, there's two right there.
Yeah. They're all hated. But that's why I look disgusting. We have Jake Collier. I believe this is Jake's first time on the show. Heavyweight. He had a great win over Chase Sherman. His first appearance. And Chito Vera is returning. He hasn't been on, since 8 months, almost a year, 10 months. Fighting Rob Font on Saturday the 30th. God, that's a good fight. Font versus Vera. I can't believe April's almost over, buddy. That's this Saturday that they're fighting.
Dude, time's going fast, bro. I told you my wife has another kickboxing match.
No, you didn't say that.
Yeah, I'll give you the details later. Yeah, she's got an amateur kickboxing match. It's going to be in Brooklyn.
That's awesome.
You know, my wife's 38. She has no wear and tear on her.
Right.
You know, besides what I do to her. Not only kid. But, I'm a fucking animal. But, people, like, you know, she's 38. You know, sometimes girls or guys, they like to do things like do a marathon or they do a tough mudder. But no, she wants to fight. So we're a fighting family, man. I had my whole family there last night. Wife's doing the fucking mitt work. I'm doing a one-on-one with my oldest. Go my Instagram. You see my oldest doing a nice arm lock?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Guess who's visiting today in Long Island? Don't guess. You'll never get it. Who's my only other friend besides you and Long Island?
Henzo.
He is. He's like family, though.
Okay.
I shouldn't have said an acquaintance.
It's an acquaintance? Wonder Boy.
No, it's Dean Thomas and Meatball McCann. Oh, Molly, okay. Meatball McCann. Huh?
Hi. Now, Dean is staying in Long Island, or is he staying in the city?
Yeah, he's in the city. I saw him. He's hitting mitts with Meatball Maloney in the park. Not Maloney, Meatball McCann.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like Meatball. From a fellow Meatball, I like Meatball. So, you know, we're going to be hanging out tonight. They're going to go, look, he's asking what train to get. I go, look, I'll tell you to train, and then you meet me down at Huntington. I'm going to be training. I'm meeting my black belts, Abe and Pat. I'll be sweaty. And then we'll hang out, man. Maybe go to Umberto's afterwards.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Who knows, man? We like to have fun.
Wish I was invited.
Yeah, man. But anyway, listen, Jimmy.
That's going to be fun. Couple of chums.
Jimmy, not to be weird again.
I'm having a good time. I'm not invited.
You know what I watched more than once of yours? And yeah, and this is what I want you to do, because you don't like the thing. I want you to tell me to watch. I want you to point me in the right direction to watch more clips of like this, because I watched this one probably 5 times.
Okay, Chip?
No.
Okay.
I've never watched Chip. I watched Chip enough to get know that it's Chip, and then I flick it. But listen, people love him. It's not for everybody. Sure. But listen to me, Jimmy. I watch when you roast your friend Rich Voss. I watched that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Only because you fucking murdered, and you murdered everybody in the room like you had a Tommy gun, and it was fucking great. And Bobby Thank Kelly you. Did great, too, on that. That was funny.
Very fun show. DeRosa was funny. Big J. Okerson, Bonnie, Jim Florentine, of course, Lewis. That was a really fun roast, man, because everybody on that panel were friends. Anthony was great. Everyone there is friends and can take a joke. So everybody was just fucking horrible to each other.
If people want to look up the roast of Rich Voss.
Rich Voss roast. Yeah, it's Voss roast.
You know what? I admired it. I was like, I was shocked how quick you could do that. Bonnie, what's her name?
Bonnie McFarlane, Rich's wife.
Yes. She was the roast master or whatever.
Yeah.
She was like, so, you know, she was at, she said something about, oh, listening to your radio show, I'd rather hear my kid drowning. You heard that. And all of a sudden I see your fucking Twitch and you start writing shit down. When you went up there and you're like, hey, if you want to hear your daughter drowning, just have your husband, just have her. Wait. And it was so good. I don't know how you don't fuck up with the line with this. And you're like, have her stand under your husband as he speaks.
Yeah, he's known for drooling.
How did you come up with that off the fly like that? How did you have the wording so down? So did you have the joke? When she first said that, it's something sparked in your head. How did you know to set that up the way you did? And it was so clean.
I don't know, honestly. It's one of those things that when you're looking for it, like when you hear a joke, it's like all these kind of ideas, they just float in front of you really quickly. Like she said, drowning. So drowning's wet. Like it's just drowning. Okay. Drowning is the thing of that I'm going to go off of. You just kind of make it. It's almost like, I'm sure if you fight, like it's a more of a reaction than it is something you're thinking through.
But the setup was, it's as if it was written months ago. It wasn't any like, because what I couldn't even, I saw it, I rewound it like fucking 3 times and I thought it was funny. And I still can't get the wording out. You made the wording as if it was a written joke. And you also did the same thing about Marlon Brando's fucking wake with fucking Bobby Kelly. I know, Jimmy, I'm no comedian, but I appreciate.
Oh, thank you, man.
Just like you with the fighting, I appreciate the wit and the timing of these fucking jokes, Jimmy. That's why you do what you do. It's so wild.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, now I blew up your head. Now we got Jay Collier.
No, it makes me feel nice. But that was a very fun night. We did that at the Village Underground, and Jay Collier's popping in. That was a lot of fun. It's always better. Roasts have become very, very televised and very celebrity oriented, but it's always better when it's just you and your friends, your guys who like each other, just shitting on each other. That's the best.
So much fun, Jimmy. So much fun. I want everybody to watch that. Tell me what you think.
Well, thank you. Yeah, VossRoast.com. How are you, man?
Doing good. Good.
What's up, Jake? Nice to meet you, man.
Yeah, I'm glad to get to come on the show.
Congrats. You're the co-main, you and Arlovsky, correct, for this Saturday?
Yeah.
And that last win over Chase Sherman was so, because, you know, he's got a great punching power, too. And watching you guys trade shots, you know, it was pretty obvious early on that it wasn't going to make it out of the first round. And really, well done, man. He's not an easy guy to submit. And that was really beautiful.
Thank you.
You started at middleweight, correct? Or did you go down to middleweight at one point? I'm amazed that you fight so well at heavyweight when you were at one point in middleweight.
Yeah, I was a middleweight. And as I got a little bit older, man, it just got harder and harder to make that weight cut. And I just was literally like to the point where like, I'm either quitting fighting or I'm moving up a weight class. I moved up a couple weight classes.
Well, that's shit, man. Well, you hold the weight well. Did you feel a big difference, not depleted or anything when you're fighting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I absolutely feel like way better. Like, I feel so much healthier. I feel like I can take punches, you know, a lot better just because I'm not so dehydrated.
Not even one weight class, too. What happens when you went up the one weight class? You're like, ah, this is a little better, but I like some hot pockets. Not only kidding. No, what'd you say? You wanted a little bit more?
No, actually, I had elbow surgery and I was out forever. And I was kind of sitting on the sidelines and I just got huge. And they called me and they're like, hey, we want you to fight. And it was like 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, we got a problem. Well, I'm a little more than heavy. And then I told them, I was like, I'll fight a heavyweight. And then I did and I lost. And then I was like, well, dude, now I really want to fight heavyweight again just so I can prove that I can win here. And now I've stayed at heavyweight. I like it up here.
And it's funny, Matt, that's exactly the question I was going to ask about the jump from middleweight up to light heavyweight. Because you look at a guy like John Jones, who has been talking about jumping up and getting bigger. And he has spent, I want to say it's a year and a half or 2 years. Like, he's had some other outside shit happen. But at one point, he said that he wasn't ready to come up because he just didn't feel like he was big enough. And what do you think about you made it so much easier? Are you just a naturally bigger guy than him? Or because it seems like it's a pretty comfortable fit for you.
Yeah, I mean, I've naturally was always a big guy. That's why I got into MMA, is because I was actually doing it to lose weight. Because I was such a big kid, you know, growing up. And I think with John moving up with weight, you know, he's really trying to just pack on pure straight muscle like me. Now, I'm a pretty naturally a big guy. So, I put on a little bit of fat, obviously, also. But I don't know. I just wanted to fight. I wanted to get back in there because I was off for a little bit. And it's working out. You know, I enjoy it. I like heavyweight. So.
So, yeah, Jake, wait, so where are, for the audience that doesn't know you, where are you from? And what style did you start with the martial arts?
I'm originally grew up in Cuba, Missouri, very small little town. And I actually started doing jiu-jitsu with a buddy. That's how what got me into it. And I went to my first jiu-jitsu tournament and I think I won one match. And this amateur MMA promoter was like, you ever thought about fighting? And I was like, sure. And I fought like the next month and here we are.
How old were you?
20, 21.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What were you doing before then? And what did you think you were going to wind up doing with your life before you knew you were going to fight?
Well, for the rest of my life, that's what I always done. I've welded my whole life. So that's why I figured I'd just be some guy that welded in a factory for the rest of his life.
Wow. Isn't it crazy when you look at it? Like, do you ever stop and look and go, geez, I thought I would be doing this thing, you know, that's a good living, but not obviously a dream. And are you ever like just amazed at how things turned out and how weird life can be, right?
Absolutely. I never even thought I'd ever leave the state of Missouri. Now I've been all over the world.
Man, shit. Hey, you were recently on the MMA Roasted podcast with Adam Hunter. How was that?
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
Yeah,
he cracked me up, man. He's a pretty good, funny guy.
He's doing a UFC night, comedy night again. He asked me to do it. I respectfully declined, but there's gonna be, I think Frankie Edgar's doing it. Some other guys are doing it. Do you ever see yourself doing something like that? If he helped write the jokes and stuff like that, or is that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd do something like that. I try to be an outgoing, laughable guy anyway, so I wouldn't be too bad with it.
Where is he doing this, Matt? I didn't know Adam was doing another one.
I'm not sure where he's doing it.
It's just fighters going up and doing stand up or trying some jokes.
No, I don't think they're trying. I think from what he told me, I think he's gonna be writing it a lot. Let me see what he said. What's his Adam Hunter?
Yeah. What's his podcast like, Jake? Was it an interview or was there a specific topic or was it just MMA in general?
It was kind of MMA in general and life, you know, kind of joking around and talking about stuff, you know. It didn't seem like too serious of an interview.
Right, right. So when you were growing up, you're a big dude. A lot of fighters get into it because they fought a lot growing up or they got bullied. Did you fight at all growing up or what was your inclination besides weight loss? Did you have any type of fighting that you did as a kid or in the street or in your neighborhood?
I think I got like one high school fight ever before I fought in a cage. Never really. I don't know, man. I was always kind of like the chill guy. I never really was like the violent dude to go fight everybody. You know, I was always the big guy. So everybody never really tried to mess with me. But for the most part, no, I never really was that guy. I never played a sport. Never wrestled, never did anything.
That's crazy.
Is that crazy?
I mean, sports are not for everybody, but you're a big guy. You think they'd probably want you like on the football or wrestling team?
I broke a lot of bones as a kid. I mean, I swear, I my right arm was in a cast for years because every seemed like every time I get out of a cast, I'd break my arm again or something.
What were you doing? Were you like 4x4? And what were you doing?
I'm being an idiot kid. Four wheelers, broke my pelvis doing that one time. That was not fun.
What did you fall out of it? Or was it when it came down, you smashed on top of it?
I fell off it doing like 60, like part of the road was rutted out and bike hit. And when it did, it bucked me off.
Any of that stuff creeped up while you were fighting, like in training camps or anything? Any of those old injuries come back and haunted you?
Not yet. Everybody says, you know, the arthritis eventually will come, but nothing yet so far, luckily.
It's amazing to me that as a guy who didn't fight, were you surprised that you had this in you? Like the ability to do this as well as you do it. Were you shocked that that was in there? Because, I mean, that's something that you really, that ability to fight that way or that instinct to do it or that aggression, I think somebody kind of has to have.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we kind of grew up with a little bit of nothing, you know, so everything I have, like, we had to work our asses off to get, you know, like, so I felt like I always had the work ethic, but, I mean, like, the violence or anger or anything like that, I mean, I watched WWE wrestling when I was a kid, maybe that turned me into what I am, I don't know, man.
That's wild that you found this path. You know what I mean? All from just doing a jiu-jitsu tournament. And was it a promoter that asked you if you want to fight?
Yeah. He promoted the amateur show. Yeah.
That fucking guy got an eye for talent. Shit. Who the fuck is that guy? Move over, Mick Maynard. Who's that guy? By the way, that next date for that UFC comedy jam is Thursday, May 19th.
Oh, it's coming up. Okay.
At the Strat in Las Vegas. He's like, you would do a 7 or 8 minute total and he would help me. And this and that. So I don't know. So I'm sure he's helping people do it.
Yeah.
But the next one, I think Frank Yegg is in there. I like to see these guys. You know why? Fighters, I know this is why fighters are going to try to do it. Because it's because fighters like to get that adrenaline and that fucking nervous pit in the stomach feeling. And when I did that looking for a fight shit, I did a lot of wacky shit. But when I tried to stand up comedy that one time, I'll tell you right now, that and the bullfight, the bull riding, were the two most pit in the stomach things I ever did. Yeah, believe it or not, Jake, going on a bull and going on a stage in front of me, those were the two things that were like, ugh. And I swam with sharks and shit.
Yeah, I can see that.
Jimmy, you're braver than all of us.
No, I just do what I do because I can't do what you do. Believe me, if I had the fucking ability to choke out Chase Sherman, I'd never tell another joke in my life. Hey, how did it feel to get that first sub win? Like, was it something you had planned or did the opportunity just present itself and you're like, let me see if I can flatten him out and get this?
Yeah, I mean, I told my coach, my wrestling coach before the fight had started, if he starts throwing sloppy kicks, I am going to take him down and try to beat him up. I didn't think I was going to catch him in a submission. It was just kind of one of those things that the opportunity was there, might as well take it.
Now, he's fighting. Sorry, Matt.
You're going to say the same thing as me. He's fighting Orlovsky.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the, I mean, dude, he was, I've been on cards with him fucking 15 years ago, literally. Oh shit. 20 years ago, I was on a card with him. No shit. UFC 33. So it's like, talk about a pioneer and a legend in the game. Does that make any difference going in there? Cause you know, Chase Sherman's a name, but fuck Andre Arlovsky, that guy's, he's up there.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost one of those things. Obviously I'm going to go out there and I want to win, but it's almost like one of those occasions where it's like, well, if I lost, I still fought Andre Arlovsky. You know, I've been watching that guy since I was a kid, you know.
Yeah.
And now I get to fight him. And he's still got it, man. He's moving well. He's on a 3-fight win streak. His stand-up's great. He's fighting long. He's not staying in brawls. But he's looking good.
Yeah. Shit.
And he's Andre Arlovsky, you know.
And it's Andre Arlovsky. How good he looks at his, what is he, 43 now, 42? I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. That a lot of guys are going longer now, which I'm guessing is things like better, better regimens when you guys get hurt and better training and all this stuff that's just allowing people to live longer in the game. But Arlovsky is incredible to be doing it at heavyweight at his age, as well as he's still doing it. I mean, he's got to be encouraging everyone that fucking in the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wish I looked as good as him at 33. I mean, the guy looks in phenomenal shape. He's always ready to go, you know.
What do you like to do when you're not training, man? Give us something on that not training related a hobby, whether it's books you're reading, movies you're watching, a series you're watching, video games you're playing. What do you like to do to unwind?
Yeah, I build a lot of cars, man. I work, I like working on cars. So that's what I do. Training for Orlowski, my off day was on Sundays. So every Sunday I would go start working on I got a 1970 short bed Ford I've been building. So I was kind of like just like my downtime and relaxation time.
How did you learn about cars? I know this sounds very simple question.
My dad. I grew up building cars with my dad.
I swear to God, I feel like throwing my dad in a Camaro. He doesn't know shit. He taught me how to fight. He's like me. Because, I don't think he knows a lot about cars. And I remember in high school, I'm like, all right, I'm going to fucking the auto fucking, I'm going to be in the auto class, whatever the fuck you call that, auto shop. So I go, all right, now I'm going to learn all about it, clean slate. I'll understand about, dude, I'm watching that thing. And everybody's, and the guy's explaining, I'll go do it. I go, everybody's doing it. I go, did I just hear the same thing? Because I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. I might just be a moron, Jake. Breaking news. I'm a fucker. Thank God they made fighting a sport, Jake, right? You'd be fine. A factory working on cars. I don't fucking know, Jimmy.
Well, that's another thing I can't do is the idea, like I had a flat tire probably about 6 months ago. And if I don't call AAA, like I can't change a flat. Like cars to me are this overwhelming thing that I can't conquer. So anybody who can just look at a car and go, yeah, I can get in there and take that engine out. I'm fascinated with Chuck Zito. You ever look at Chuck Zito's Instagram? The fucking, all he does is take out engines and rebuild them. It's just, it's incomprehensible to me how you do that.
I always grew up just working on cars my whole life. And I kind of look back now because, of course, you know how it is when somebody's car in my family's broke down. It's like, well, just call Jake. He knows how to fix it. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword, you know? It's like, I'm glad I know the knowledge, but I also am always the one that has to fix all the crap.
Yeah. And do you feel any additional pressure being co-main? Is there any additional pressure at all to you? Like, are you thinking of that?
No, absolutely not. No.
Is there no difference in the amount of press? Sometimes guys get annoyed because they're doing more press when they're the main or co-main.
Yeah, definitely way more press. I've done more interviews for this fight than I think I have my whole career. So
I don't think anybody, the mind games and this and that, I don't think anybody's going to be, it's hard to ruffle Jake's feathers, I think. He looks very just even keel. He's just very, somebody cuts you off in traffic, I bet you, they curse you out, I bet you're probably like, I can't see you getting mad.
I don't know where you get too pissed off normally. It takes a lot to make me mad.
It's got to be nice to know, though, that if you do get cut off, and you do give somebody the finger, like if you step out of the car, they're going to realize they've made a grave error. That's got to be a nice feeling.
Yeah, that's happened too, actually. People try to be tough guys, and then they see out my size, and they're like, oh, all right, never mind.
Oh, do they always back off?
For the most part, people, after they see my size, they don't go much further.
Well, don't you also have a lot of big guys have to deal with guys my size who want to prove something? Like, you know, a guy who's 5'6 or 5'7 who wants to prove he's not a pussy. And then you have to deal with that fucking shit too.
Yeah, that's the best. Or the guys that were going to be fighters. But man, I had like a job and I had a kid. I couldn't make time for it. Those guys are my favorite too.
Oh, yeah. Always an excuse as to why they didn't do it and why they should be where you are.
Yeah, I have three sons and a wife and a mortgage. Yeah, I worked pretty much my whole UFC career until here recently, a full-time job. So,
oh, you did.
I know what it's about. Yeah.
So what would you do? I'm also amazed at that is guys who can work 8 hours and then go and train. I mean, I sleep so bad. Even when I took a little kickboxing, I sucked at getting there. And you just would go after work or early in the morning before work?
After work every day, we'd train from like 6 to 8, you know, and then I'd drive my hour home.
Oh, wow.
Get up, do it again.
Well, this is huge. Huge opportunity. Co-main event.
Yeah.
If the world doesn't know you, they will know you after this, Jake.
Absolutely. It's a big opportunity. I'm happy. I'm excited.
Yeah, good luck against Orlovsky. And again, congrats on that last win over Chase. That was a really, really good win. And this is a high-profile fight. And I'm sure we'll talk to you again, man. Have a great fight on Saturday, and good luck.
Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey,
UFC fans, are you looking for an edge to your workouts? I know I certainly am. Something that could help with warm-up and recovery times. Sweet Sweat is the official marketing partner of UFC and of UFC Performance Institute. Their topical gel got its start in boxing and UFC. There's a lot of fighters used it to help them cut weight prior to fights. Here's all the things Sweet Sweat can do. Targets slow to respond areas of the body, accelerates warm-up and recovery times, slows down lactic acid buildup, assists in creating a longer and more rewarding workout. I'm not even a fighter and all these things sound great. We get it. You're probably skeptical, but just think about it. Sweet Sweat only works with an elevated heart rate, meaning you have to put in the work for the product to work. You can't just sit there and have it work. It's not a miracle product. They have a long list of professional athletes that use their product on a daily basis, and they're partnering with UFC Performance Institute to show you the science behind Sweet Sweat.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You know, it was a great win watching him flatten out. And I like Chase Sherman a lot, too. But Jay Collier is a fun guy to watch.
I think he's very, he's like affable.
Yes, he is.
You know, he's like a big huggable guy. Like you want to see him, you want to go, come here.
No, I don't want to hug him. He wouldn't like that.
Maybe he like, I'm a huggable guy.
Yeah, you are.
I'm like, come on, come here, come on.
Let me ask you a question, what? Matt. They're talking, obviously, Zhang Weili and Yan Jacek has been rescheduled. The second fight has been for 275, not rescheduled, but scheduled for 275, the rematch. And Ngannou said he won't resign unless there's a Tyson Fury fight that's part of the deal. And I get the appeal of it for the money, and I would want to see Francis win it. But a guy like Tyson Fury, who did nothing but box, if you take away the weapons of an MMA fighter, which is holding him up against the cage, grabbing him, maybe throwing him down, grinding up against the fence, all the stuff that you can't do in your boxing, because as soon as you clinch, the ref comes in and breaks you up. If you're getting to a guy, he's just got to grab you, and then the ref will break you up and separate you. I think that's going to be a tough night for Francis. And I love him. I don't think that's a knock on his talent. It's just Tyson Fury has done nothing but fight guys at heavyweight.
Are you talking about them having a boxing match? Or
with kind of amended rules. Like, I'm sure it's boxing rules with small gloves. And it might even be in an MMA cage. I'm not sure where they would do it. But if you're just using boxing rules with clinching, especially, because Francis isn't a huge wrestler. I mean, that really works against Francis.
If they do a fucking stand-up match, I think, I mean, you got to understand, Francis, I mean, is powerful, but chances are, that, I mean, with just using your two fucking, putting up your dukes, I think that the Gypsy King is going to be too much with just his hand.
Because that's all he's done is win with his hands.
That's all, man. I mean, listen, what do you call it? Had to pull out some grappling in his last fight versus Ciryl Gane. If Ciryl, he did not win that fight. Ciryl Gane lost that fight. That's the difference. Ciryl Gane was on his way to winning, and then he laid down with a leg and he lost that last round and he gave the fight away. That just is what it is.
That is true. Yeah.
That last round wasn't, wow, he pulled it out by making this correction. No, he won because the other guy fucked up.
Yeah.
He laid down if he didn't lay down with that leg, he wins. He's the new champ.
I think Francis was also hurt, though. I think he had a bad leg going in, a bad knee that he didn't talk about. It's not an excuse, but I mean, I just think it's a fact that he was hurt. And I would take Francis again in a rematch.
I would
take him sooner.
Really?
Yeah. Again, Sorgon's great, but it seemed like he was not at all interested in slugging it out with Francis.
Well, I mean, listen.
I mean, I don't blame him.
I think he was, I think he was fighting great.
Yeah, he's very smart. He's definitely fighting smart.
Yeah, until that last round. You know what I mean? Hey, we didn't talk to Chito Vera in a while.
No, it was June of 21, I think. So, again, almost a year. I want to say 10 months. And, you know, he's fighting Rob Font in the main event. And it was just an incredible fight. And I rewatched that Frankie Edgar fight, which was probably 1-1 going into the third. And Frankie looked good in that last round. Frankie looked really good in that last round. I could not pick who was ahead in round three. And then he planted that Anderson Silva looking kick on Frankie's chin. Really great.
Yeah, great for him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just, and I'm sure Frankie would acknowledge that was a perfectly placed kick, and he had been working his way up the body with that kick. And I would like to see a rematch against Sugar Shane O'Malley, too. I would love to see that.
What the fuck is this question? Your last fight ended with a front kick.
He wouldn't post the I'm guessing he wouldn't post the photo of his foot hitting Frankie's face because he thought it was, like, fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, they could freeze frame anything and make it look fucking
weird. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I think he probably just doesn't. I'm guessing it's a respect thing for Frankie. He doesn't want it to look like he's, you know, trying to make Frankie look bad. That's my guess.
Yeah, I get you. Hey, you want to talk about some of the fights while we're waiting? Let's do it.
Sure.
Oh, Marlon's ready to go. Forget that. Let's get Marlon in here. Chito Vera. Look at this. Look at him. He looks ready to fucking go. Chito, what's up, man?
I'm fucking hopping over here. I'm excited.
Dude, you look like you're glowing, bro. You look good. How's things?
Life's good, man. I'm healthy. I'm ready to go. And I cannot wait till that beautiful KO's on Saturday night.
Yeah, you're predicting that you're going to stop the fight. You don't think it's going to go the distance.
Well, I always want to finish fights. You know, I'm not a guy that forces finishes or try it too hard, but, you know, my goal is to hurt you. You know, I'm not here to play fighting. I want to get in there and just fight hard, you know, and I'm always expecting a finish because how I train, my work ethic and how ready I am. But if we go to 25 minutes, I don't mind it. I'm just ready to go. That's all.
The Edgar fight, you had such a, we were just talking about that kick at the end, towards the end of the third round. And I think a lot of people, it looked like it was 1-1 going into that third round. It was a very close third round. I thought you looked really good. I thought Frankie looked really good. And that was a great way to finish that fight because you never want to leave one like that going to the judges.
Especially, you know, in his hometown with, you know, bro, I'm pretty sure the whole commission know who he is and everything. And I've been robbed before pretty bad. So I just know if I have time on the clock, I have chances to finish you. I have chances to bounce back and I have chances to adjust. It's like anything in life, you know, if you're alive, you have a chance to try, keep trying in life. So I'm just a fighter at heart and I will find a way.
So you have to like that you have five rounds as opposed to three to work, right?
I love it. I had one five rounder back in the day when I fought for a belt in Mexico. He only lasts one round, but I was excited. I was like, okay, now I have time to fight because sometimes 5 minutes is not enough time, you know, and you know, it can go either way. You know, 5 minutes can be a long night for you, but also can be very short sometimes. And, you know, I'm just prepared. I train year round. I'm healthy. I'm always trying to evolve, to add new tools, to polish the basics. And, you know, if I have more time in the clock, it's just better for me. It's just more time. And I'm glad I got to that point in my career now. You know, once you fight a main event, you will get more.
In that fight against Frankie, I think you had come up the body a few times with that kick. You had kicked to the body. Were you looking for that face? Was there something you saw in what he was doing that said, I think I can get the face? Or did that moment just open it up for you and you did it?
I just like to be consistent with the ball. You know, I think the more you throw, the more chances you have. And I feel very comfy with my defense. I feel I'm a very aware guy. I don't lose my mind in that and just start throwing blow for blow. And, you know, I just throw it as hard as I can sometimes. And, you know, you just need to touch him. We have 4 ounces of gloves, you know, so I don't like to get too methodic with things, you know. A fight is a fight. You got to go and fight your ass off. So I just throw. I just threw it really hard and I caught him, you know. Good eyes. That's good.
Talk about the fighting in a main event, the five rounds. This will be Font's third straight main event fight. Does it concern you at all with that experience he has with these five round fights?
I got 19 fights in the UFC, and then I feel I've been fighting top guys for a while now. So he's just one more top guy I'm fighting, and I'm here to take his spot. I'm here to take his head off. So, you know, I want to be number five. I work so hard for this that I don't, right now, when I'm looking back, I say I did everything possible to win this fight. I've been consistent since my last fight. I've been doing everything. So my only concern always is myself. It's me versus me. I want to be better than my last fight. I want to be in a better condition, and I want to push myself more. So whoever's in front of me, it's just a partner to dance. The rest is just on me. I put the work on. I'm ready to go. I'm going to kick his ass.
How's Jason Perullo? You still working with him?
Oh, yeah. He's a man. We were working so hard since last fight. We will keep getting better, you know, and just keep adding, you know, keep getting on the ground game, keep getting better at my wrestling. And overall, you know, like, I'm just making sure I'm ready all the time.
Doing a five-round fight, because both of Rob's last fights have been five, and they've both gone the distance, one win, one loss. Is it going to change the way you approach the pacing of a fight? Because obviously, you know, you've done, and you're obviously in condition to do five rounds, but is it going to change the way you approach it? Like, maybe with Frankie, the way you fought in that third round, you put out more energy than you would have if you had five rounds, or how are you looking at that?
I just feel, you know, I just feel my lungs can go, so I can start hard and finish hard. Or, you know, I can also pick him apart and take my time. You know, I feel like I can fight both ways. I can put mad pressure going forward, but also I feel like I can take you for a walk. I can move. I can use my feet and go side to side trying to figure it out. So, and, you know, the training camp, you know, you do it different. You know, when you fight a three rounder, you fight really hard for three rounds, and then you have to know if you win or you lose. And then when you have a five rounder, this whole camp has been five rounds of everything, of boxing, of MMA sparring, you know. And then, of course, my running remains pretty similar. I'm running long distance. I'm doing a lot of sprints. So I feel good to go. You know, I feel for 25 minutes, I can go to hell and back, and I'll be fine.
What part of training do you hate the most? Is there something in training that you dislike more than anything?
I love to be active. I love to go to the gym. I go with a smile on my face because that's my job. That's what I dreamed to do when I was a kid. The only thing that I always say, like, makes no sense and is pretty stupid is kind of like the weight cut. And I get it. You know, there's some people that will say, like, okay, yeah, don't cut weight. Go to the weight class app. But I'm like, yeah, it makes no sense. I'm fighting guys that are cutting 30, 40 pounds more than the 35 or so. I will hope. I know this probably will never happen, so happy to do my job and make the way. But I'm like, I just hope one day we can just weigh in right before we step in the cage and you just fight at your natural weight class. And if you're a fat fuck and you're out of shape, that's on you, you know. I'm an athlete, so I'm an athlete year-round. I don't train when I have a fight. I train because it's my job. I eat correctly because I'm an athlete. And, you know, I do my part. So it's the only thing about MMA that I'm like, is dumb. It's kind of cheating. You know, if you cut a lot of weight, I think you're a big pussy, but, you know, that's on you.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated. I always think it'd be a little bit easier to fight closer to natural weight. But then again, you might be fighting, like you said, bigger guys who are cutting a lot more weight than you are. But some people think that the depleting and the weight cut is worse for you than actually just fighting at your natural. Well, you know what I mean? Like, it's worse to cut the weight because you go in tired or you go in, you know, not your best.
My dream will be to step in the scale, I'm fighting at 155 against anybody in the world. But, you know, weigh in right 10 seconds before you actual fight. That would be, you know, best scenario. But, you know, it's not going to happen because I know most people is 40, 50 pounds overweight normally. Most people that I know, it is like that. Because I think most athletes, they think, you know, they just know how to cut away. They cut away and then they eat junk for 3 months and then they go into camp. I don't do that. I believe I live a better life. I feel healthier. I feel good. That's why I make the cut to 135, because even for 45, I'll be pretty small. So yes, it is what it is. That's just one part. When we say about what you don't like about the game, I'm like, I'm a fighter. Why do we have to cut away? I want to fight. But I do it, and I got it dialed in. I try to do it as the most healthy possible, but it's still, it's just like, come on, let's just fight.
Let me ask you, do you get annoyed when people bring up, yo, what about a rematch with O'Malley and this and that? I mean, you beat him. But because people, I don't know, some people almost like you didn't beat him. I mean, I know you beat him. People, the guys who know you beat him, but yet they're like, oh, what about that rematch? It's almost as if like it was like tainted somehow. Like, what do you think about that?
Honestly, I don't really waste my energy on what people say. I'm not a person that is reading comments and trying to dig for like who's saying you're the best or who's saying fuck you. You know what I'm saying? I don't do that. You know, I'm not scrolling down social media. I'm not living that shitty life. Like, I'm just like trying to see what people say about me. Like, people say fucked up shit. People say nice shit. I don't fucking care. I only care about the people I love, what they say. And I keep myself around real people that if I'm not doing right, they will jump on my face. Hey, fuck you. And if I'm doing well, they'll tell me to keep it up. So I'm really not into what fucking people say. Like, for example, most of the people that will put comments like that is people that will never achieve nothing in life.
Yeah.
First of all, they can go and suck dick. Second, I don't have time for them. You know what I'm saying? I achieve things in life. I'm doing my thing. So if you are a badass and you tell me something, I take it as an advice. If you're somebody that succeeds in life and you say something to me, I listen to that. If you're a random cook, that's a mark.
And you know they're not saying anything, that they would never say it to you. Guys that are saying that shit in comments would never say it to you if you were standing there.
Of course not.
And if somebody said that to my face, I told this 100 times before, I won't insult you if we're face to face. I'm going to fight you. So I guess I keep it pretty real. That's why I believe people respect me, because I'm not here for the clout. I'm not here for the hype. I don't hang out with nobody for who they are. I hang out with people for what's inside their heart and their mind. So that's all that matters to me. You know? So people will always talk, good or bad. You know, that's just noise. Fuck the noise.
Hey, it's still a really good feather to have in your cap, because the guy's got a lot of big following, and it's nice that you have that win over him, because whenever that guy gets another win, they're always going to want to see that fight. So that's another potential big payday for you.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that. I, the business side of it is great. So, and the UFC already offered us that fight, and I guess Homeboy declined it because they never called us back. So I just keep it pretty honest with the UFC. They know I fight. They know I'm not trying to find an easy road or something like that. So if they call me for a fight, like they call me, you want to fight Rodfun? Yes. They call me, you want to fight Frank Gallagher? Yes. They call me, you want to fight David Grant, which was below me, but he'll have a win over me back in the day, which no one really care. I say yes to that. And probably the David Grant fight was the toughest fight for me out there, just because he has nothing to win, everything to lose, and that's a tough motherfucker. And guess what? I took it, prepared, went in there and kicked his ass. So I'm not finding an easy road. There's no easy road for me. I like to achieve things and I like to earn things.
And Jimmy, he didn't say that. Don't go and write no comments about him now because he said to go suck a dick and you might want to suck a dick. He said that just for the guys. He said it.
He said it negatively.
Yes, yeah, negative. Yes. He might take that like, oh, I can suck a dick.
No. I'm not randomly sucking some dick, okay. Unless it's a good woman. Okay. Then perhaps. Unless she's a nice lady.
Hey, you're sure. Talking shit on me, huh?
No, I don't comment on social media at all.
Ever.
I don't really read at mentions either, for the same reason is I'm just not interested, because it's great when people say nice things, but when people are just being dicks, you know that they're just pretending to be somebody they're not online. And it's like, this is their chance to be that person. So I just don't waste my time with it, because it's annoying.
Hey, if I want to hear something good, I call my mother. God bless. The lady's a nice lady. She said good things to me. So if I want to hear something good, I call mom. I call grandma. I don't know. I'm really not into the social media. I prefer to go to the park with my kids. I don't know. I prefer to go surfing. I prefer to hang out with my friends and barbecue. I'm not into the fucking fake world trying to be cool.
Right?
Fuck the noise. Fuck the noise for that.
Chino's got to figure it out. He trains hard. He loves his family. You know, if they're not with you, they're against you, man. You have enough friends, Chito Vera. Fuck everybody. Fuck them. Exactly. Fuck them.
Fuck everybody.
You know, fuck dicks.
Matera.
I'm with you, Chito.
Yeah. Well, you're a former world champion. You know what's up. You know, you're not trying. You did it.
Ah, you're my man. I feel like it was yesterday. I was in that room with you and Jason Pereiro, and he was baking cookies.
Oh, he cooks all fucking day.
They were some good fucking cookies. They were like
chocolate. I know. I think I'm gonna move out of the room because I'm like, last night I wake up to pee and I was like, I hate you, coach.
Yeah, is he cooking healthy food or is it like fun, good, tasty food?
It's like he was doing Italian, yes. He was doing pasta with bacon. Then he did a fat steak. And I'm like, come on, man. Eat some salad for me. And he's a good cook too. So I just smell it for now.
Can you cook? I'm not patient enough to cook, but some fighters we talk to actually learn to cook and they cook their own meals. And they say it's like relaxing and kind of cathartic.
I love to cook. I always tell my nutrition, like, I'm like, I want to become like a real chef. Like, I love to cook. And I love to cook for people. Like, sometimes when I cook, I don't want to eat. I want people to tell me that was the best fucking meal. So I really put time in the kitchen. I like to cook for my wife. I like to cook for my friends. And every time I want to do something, I call my nutritionist. I'm like, okay, how I do this? And then, you know, the lady's a pro, so she told me everything, how to do it. And I really like to cook. I can cook all day.
What do you cook really well? Like, what's something you make really well?
I can do a pretty good steak. I can do shrimp tacos pretty good. I learned how to make some salads with some good superfoods. I got a couple of things dialing pretty good, but all the basics are dialing at the moment. I can do a pretty decent pasta too. My kids love it.
It's a nice way to eat healthy too, because you know what's in it because you're putting it in. So you could probably eat what you want to eat without worrying about if it's got shit in there that shouldn't be in there.
100%. And that's what, like, honestly, in my house, we don't really go out to eat much. We just do a big meal for the kids. And sometimes I can tell my kids enjoy more a nice pasta at home than go to a restaurant. So pretty much we go out if we want to actually do a little cheat meal, but we eat pretty good at home. The kids enjoy eating good food. My fucking son is gonna hate me when he find out I've been feeding him liver, telling him his ribeye.
Oh, shit. He's probably getting powerful though.
Oh, the kid is healthy as fuck. Like, they don't get sick. They play all day. And sometimes when I eat a lot of liver for the nutrients, I tell him, hey, you want some steak? And he says, yes. And he's like, oh, it's pretty good. Yeah, I tell you. If I told him his liver, he will say no, 100%. One day we'll find out he's been eating liver his whole life.
Not a lot of guys are eating liver. I haven't had liver in ages. What, yeah. You like liver?
I eat liver every week.
Now, what is the? Tell me about the nutrients with the liver.
Well, it's just got a lot of shit on it, more than a steak. It's like a steak on the steroids.
Really?
Now, wait, let me ask you, is liver worse? Because I like liver worst on a sandwich. Is that totally different?
Fuck, maybe on a sandwich it's way better than the way I eat it. I just eat it like the way it is with a little bit of salt and pepper and that's it.
Liver.
Yeah, liverwurst is great. You kind of smear it with a knife. Well, you cut it. It's great. Yeah.
Not the same thing.
No, it's not. I'm eating fattening shit and he's eating like healthy raw liver.
Does it taste good, the liver, where you make it? Does it taste good?
It's not very good, but I know it's for a good reason. Like my friends at Hunt, like, you know, everybody eats like the good stuff from the elk. And no one wants the liver. So my friends, that they go for a hunting, they bring me like a fucking huge elk liver. And I finished it like in a couple of weeks.
Do you have to cut it up and take anything out of it? Or do you just cut it up and cook it and eat it like it is?
If a friend kill it, it comes with a little bit of hair and a little bit of shit. So you got to put it on, you got to clean a little bit. But I just cut it and put it on packages. So it's just ready to eat. One package instead of defrosting the whole thing and put it in the freezer again.
Oh yeah, I'm not cut out for that life. It sounds good and healthy, but I couldn't cut hair and shit off it or whatever's on the outside of it. I just couldn't do it.
Oh yeah, it comes with a sometimes there's like a little bit of like, you know, grass and shit on it, so you just clip it off.
Yeah, no, I don't want grass. I tap out on that. Well, look, man, good luck. This is a great, great fight. And by the way, I know you never look past the guy you're fighting, but just, you know, what's an ideal fight for you? If this one goes the way you want it to go, if you get a really strong early knockout win or whatever, what do you think happens for you next?
I really believe this put me in title contention. And you know, an MMA, it's crazy. So some people can be hurt. Some people can get COVID. Some people can just don't want to find the frame line. And they tell you, like, hey, you want it? You take it. I always feel like one step at a time will take you a long way. But when I finish this guy, I'm right there. So I'm just excited about the next step. And I'm willing to fight anybody. And I know I'm just going to bring it. I got the tools and I got the cardio to do anything I want.
You against Piotr Jan's a fight I would love to see. That's a fight I would love to see.
That's a fun fight. You know, he's everybody in the top five is in my radar, and everybody below that is in my radar because they're coming on top. They're coming in hot. So you can't forget about those motherfuckers. So everybody, 10 guys up, 10 guys down, we can go anytime.
They're all going to get it, Cheeto. They're all going to get it.
Yes, sir.
They're not eating fucking liver.
No.
Right?
No.
Well, good luck on Saturday, man. It's always good talking to you. And, you know, this is a great, great main event. And congrats on getting the main event, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Marlon. Be good.
Tell Jason I said hello, too.
I will, man. Have a good one, guys.
Having a team feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 4/22 through 4/28. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Cheeto Vera, yeah, him against Piotr Jan. What a fight is that, huh? How great of a fight would that be? Him against anybody is a good fight.
It was Rob Font this weekend.
Of course.
Rob Font's part of that fucking cartel.
Yes, he is.
You know what I mean? Those guys, they fucking mean business. People thought, Calvin Kattar was done. And then he swore the tough gigi and fucking came in with fucking elbows from fucking hell. He looked fucking phenomenal his last fight.
Yeah.
So he learned. And he bounced back. I want to see how Rob Font, if he takes a page out of his buddy Calvin Kattar's book, and how Calvin bounced back after the Max Holloway loss. Could he do a similar feat going if there is loss versus Jose Aldo? I mean, this is his first time we're seeing him, and you know, that might have been overwhelming for him. Let's see. This is a great fight. This is a great fucking fight, Rob.
A great fight. What do you think, Matt? We should do a couple of picks. What do you think?
Now, this is the thing. We don't know how he's going to bounce back, you know? And I would like to think he's going to bounce back the same way as Calvin Kattar. I would. Marlon Vera is one of the most headstrong guys I think we've ever talked to.
Yeah.
He's that Sugar Sean O'Malley fight, he was not even fucking... His confidence wasn't wavering at all. He knew exactly what the fuck he was going to do. And I think it might come down to the attitude. It might come down to fucking who wants him more, who believes in him more. I don't know. I like both guys so much.
Yeah.
But I will say I'll go with Marlon on a decision.
Yeah, I'm going to take Marlon, I say, in the third round. I think he gets it done in the third round.
Okay, third round. What do you think of Arlovski versus Jake Collier? That guy won me over, that Jake Collier. I think he won me over.
Yeah.
That guy.
I'm going to take Arlovski by decision. I think Arlovski, again, he like he's been fighting very, very smart. And I think he's such a veteran that he figures out. Oh, then again, hold on. I'm looking at 264, 246.
I'm taking Orlovsky by decision.
I was going to.
Go ahead.
I take Jake Collier, second round stoppage.
Ooh, okay, okay. Andre Feely versus Joy Anderson Brito. I'm going to take Andre Feely. He's due for a win.
Yeah, he is. I'll take him.
I'll take him. You know what? Is he getting him out of there, though? These guys could take a beating. I don't want to do all decisions, but I'm going to take him by decision.
I'll take him by decision, too, since I'm taking two other stoppages.
I'm taking Jared Gordon, though.
Yeah, over Grant Dawson.
Grant Dawson's very tough, though, so I'm going to take a decision for Jared. Come on, now.
I am going to take Dawson. I am going to say that Dawson stops him second round.
How dare you?
He's a little longer. Yeah.
Man, shit. Listen, Jared. Darren
Elkins, Tristan Connolly. Yeah.
And now, listen, man. He's due for a win, Darren Elkins. That guy's a. Let's say he's due for a win, and I think he's going to get it, and I think he's going to get it by second round stoppage.
I'm going to give him a first round stoppage over Connolly.
Oh, here we go. Christoph Jocko versus Gerald Mershot. Now, listen, I'm going to say Gerald Mershot, second round submission.
I say a third round submission by Mershot.
Okay. Okay. Jimmy, yes. We had such a fun show.
Tonight,
it's time to go. What?
By the way, I forgot. Tonight, I'm going to be at the Fat Black Pussycat, which is around the corner, the Comedy Cellar. I'll be there at 7 p.m. tonight. And I got coming up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, May 6th and 7th. So come see me if you wish. If you don't, I don't blame you.
Jimmy. Oh, that's so great, Jimmy. Well, Jimmy, listen, man. If I told you I didn't have fun, I'd be lying. I had a good time. I did.
Thank you. Me too, buddy.
Yeah, it's time to go.
So tell Dean I said hello. I'd love to see
him. Yeah, man. I'm going to be hanging out with Dean Thomas and Meatball fucking McCann.
Yeah.
We're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you know, we'll text over the weekend. We always do.
Yep.
I miss you so much.
I miss you, pal.
Hey, listen. I got nothing else to say besides I'm on Cameo and I like to have a good time. I will see you soon, my little bird.
Yeah, let's have dinner soon, man. It'd be good to come out and see you for dinner.
I would love to. Hey, you tell me. I'm always available.
Okay, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Later, Jimmy.
Bye, Matt.
Having a teen feels like having your own live-in influencer. Somehow you know the latest makeup trend and the fact that skinny jeans are not the most flattering pants. Now it's time for you to show them what's up, thanks to Domino's. From April 22nd through April 28th, carry out as many large two-topping pizzas from Domino's as you want for only $6.99 each. And teach your kiddo that saving money and Domino's pizza will never go out of style. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.